amen. Praise the Lord for the special music once again tonight and just the opportunity to be in church. I trust that you have already been blessed just being assembled together as a church family here tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Ruth in chapter 1. We've been a few weeks now here in the book of Ruth and looking at it a little different as you usually read through the book of Ruth. And to start with, you think it might be more about Naomi than it is Ruth, but we do know that God called this and has it recorded and preserved for us as the book of Ruth. And so Ruth is the main character that we're looking at. And so we've been looking at it from her perspective as we're going through and studying this and studying the character that God has given us, the character, Bible character of Ruth. Ruth was raised Moabitess, understanding that God has a love for all humanity. And it's always been that way. God was aware of Ruth, but Ruth was not aware of God. As she was born into this life, she was looking to her parents. Her parents raised her to believe a certain way, to believe in a certain set of rules. And the morality was what she was being taught. So many are the very same way today around the world. That's humanity. And until they come to that age of accountability or when they come to an understanding where they're able to think for themselves, that type of thing, they're going to go in the direction that they've been raised. She was raised Moabitess, but then we find that there was a backslidden Jewish family that left and run from God and moved into the very same neighborhood as Ruth. And so we've been looking at that and studying those different things, and I trust it's been a help to you just looking at this from a different perspective. Last week, we looked at a comparison of the two girls, the two Moabitesses, Ruth and Orpah, after the same influences in their life. And yet, they had to make a decision. And after the same influence of life, they had made two totally different decisions about what they were going to do with the rest of their lives. And we find that in verse 14, when they said, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and she went back to her gods. But then the Bible says, but Ruth clave unto her. Go ahead and stand with me. Let's go ahead and read this. We're not done with these verses yet. I want to read verses 11 through 18, but I believe there's still more for us to learn here in this first chapter about the decision now that Ruth made. We looked at the two and the different decisions. One chose God and one chose to go back to her roots, her worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. But Ruth chose to leave Baal. Ruth chose to leave Moab and to follow Naomi back to her God. And so here in Ruth chapter 1, verse 11, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And so we studied that last week to understand she really was coming blinded, but God was using her to test these two girls into the decision that they would be accountable for. And then verse 14, they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me all and more also. She's looking at God as her Lord. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she, Naomi, saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you once again for the opportunity to be in church. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us here now just to put everything else out of our minds. Thank you for what we've already experienced, just being in this place, the congregational singing, the special music. But now as we've opened up your word, we're looking here in this book of Ruth. And God, I know that you have a spiritual help for us tonight through this. I pray that you would empower the preaching once again of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, and when she, Naomi, saw that she was steadfastly minded. Again, Naomi's still kind of blinded. She's a backslidden Christian, if you will. God's taken her husband, then taken her two sons. You can understand why she's in such turmoil, and she is miserable, but she is genuinely saved, and she knew that God's will for her life would be going back into Jerusalem, to go back in Israel, to get back under in the will of God. She was wounded, she was beaten, she had lost so much, but yet she understood, she knew God. And something else there, Ruth knew that there was something different about Naomi. Ruth knew that Naomi's belief in her God was something she had never experienced before. Her commitment to her God, the stories of her God, the judgment of her God. It was starting to make sense to Ruth. Amen. Ruth now had opportunity. Now she had heard everything about her other small letter G gods, Baal and Ashtaroth. She had been raised with that doctrine, but didn't really click. It had too many holes. It just didn't grasp her heart. There was something missing with the teachings. And then she heard the teachings of the God of Israel. She had already experienced a little bit knowing that Israel, the God of Israel, had led them from Egypt to the land next door. And that they were the most powerful army and they defeated all of the armies and all the kings of Canaan land. In her mind, she was already thinking, has to be something to that. There's more to that. And once she started possibly for the 10 years learning more from possibly her backslidden husband, and then I believe her closest connection, and I think it shows itself to be true, now Ruth's closest connection with God and understanding about God was Ruth. See, Ruth was being drawn to Naomi, not simply because of Naomi, but because of Naomi's understanding of God. Amen. And at the same time, God was giving her an opportunity to choose him, to choose the one and only true God over how she'd been raised, over the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. All the other gods of the Moabites. And we find here that she made the choice to go back into Jerusalem. To go there to learn more about and to possibly even serve. Now to be her God. Yeah. And Ruth seen something Naomi seen something in Ruth when she said, all that she said in verse 16, down verse 18, but then in verse 18, and when she saw that she was steadfastly minded. That's the testimony at this particular time that Ruth has. Steadfastly minded. A lost Moabitess has now become steadfastly minded. Still just very early on in her understanding of God and the law and the Bible and the creation and everything else, But now she is, at least in her heart and mind, the Bible says, steadfastly minded. Ruth is now a believer and in Naomi's God. Because the only thing that she knows about God has come to her through Naomi. You see, if you have ever heard this before, we usually win people to ourselves before they win them to Christ. If they don't have some kind of respect for you, if they don't have something looking at you, thinking that you have something they don't have, they're not going to receive what you want to offer them, and you're offering them an invitation to know God. And sometimes when we do that, they look to us, and we might be their only connection to further their relationship with a God that they've just received. And that happens quite often. And even in a Christian nation as America, where there's churches everywhere and the Bible's been preached on over the radio and television, now you get back in that Bible times and you even get places around the world, they don't have those opportunities to truly learn more and more about God from anywhere they look. They don't have that opportunity, especially now. The only connection that Ruth would have to God, the Creator God, the God of Israel, was now through Naomi. So there's more to it than just her following Naomi back. She now believes in Naomi's God. I believe this is the time that she made the decision, according to what the Bible says, that she actually made the decision, I want to serve God. I believe in your God. I want him as my God. We're going to look at some of that just here in a minute. But she wanted a closer walk with God. And Naomi seen that. And I think it helped Naomi as much as it would help Ruth. I've still got a purpose in life. I've lost my husband. I've lost my children. I've run away from God. There's still a purpose for me returning to my God. Ruth's thinking, it's outlined for us here, has been recorded and revealed for us to learn from. That's the Bible. If it's recorded and preserved in the Bible, God says, I want you to learn from it. There's something he wants you to learn from it. Whether it be from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, they're just not written down for words. There is something that God would have us to learn from. Every word in the Bible. And we're to live by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So we think here, we see here, on when Ruth come up with this, or Naomi come up with this thought, and it's written down, steadfastly minded. Ruth had just revealed her thinking, which led her to be steadfastly minded. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Here in verse 16, what Ruth's answers, her mind, and what the Bible has recorded concerning what she was thinking. A Moabitess, raised to believe in other gods, false gods, has now turned to the God of creation. What's her thinking? Well, verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Because Naomi had tried to discourage both of her daughter-in-laws because she was discouraged. She must have thought, because I'm cursed, because God is going to curse anything and everything that touches me. Because we run from God, I should have spoke up. We've studied this. She would have thought, I should have spoke up and told Elimelech, that's a bad decision. Let's not run from God. Let's get right with God. She didn't do that. God takes Elimelech. Now she's left. She's got two young boys that she could have made the decision to go back then. She listened to the boys because they had already met the girls, and they said, no, let us stay here so that we can marry these girls and establish our home here. We don't want to go back. We've already seen something in Moab that we like, and we want to stay in Moab. And she allowed them to make the decision. And after they made the decision, God gave them 10 years from start to finish, and then God took those two boys' life. Now she understands, I should have made the decision. It might have saved my husband. It would have saved my two sons. I don't know why God has not taken my life, but I know what I need to do if I've got life. I've got to go back to Israel. I've got to go back to God. I can't run from him any longer. But she's miserable and she's confused and everything's going through her mind. Only thing she knows is God is real. And he's done all this. She even tells the girls, I'm sorry for you that God has dealt with me and such, and it's impacted your life. Sorry, can't do anything about that. I can't go back and undo what's been done. I can't make right decisions after I've already lived a wrong way. I've got to face that now, but I can, from this point forward, make right decisions. And Ruth's seen that. And she said, there's something to your God. And by this time, when she made the decision, Orpah said, no, I'm going to go back. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to go back to serving my gods. Forget I ever met you guys. But Ruth said, no, I can't forget this. And so she looks at Naomi and she says, stop trying to tell me to go back when I made my own decision to follow after God. Entreat me not to leave. That word entreat means to ask, to beg, to implore. Stop trying to talk me out of a decision that I've made. Need to be steadfast in knowing that I've chosen God. She was steadfast-minded, and one of the first things, she was steadfast in her decision to choose God. I'm not going back to false gods. I'm not going back to Ashtaroth. I'm not going back to Baal. I knew all along there was something wrong. That's how I was raised. I was raised to believe that way, but I always had holes in it. I knew something was wrong. Now I have been exposed to the reality of a true God. And he is the only God. He's the creator God. Stop trying to talk me out of it. I've made the decision. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Could you be talked out of your faith? Could you be talked out of believing what you believe? If it's not true, she really didn't believe in Baal and Ashtaroth. But when you know salvation is through Jesus Christ and I have confessed and forsaken my sins and I've turned to him, once I don't think you can be talked out of it. If you know you're saved, you might get confused and you might be messed up from dealing with different things and sin and the results of sin. But if you're saved, if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you know. You know, you might not want to live it right now, and you might want to try and be running from it, but if you're saved, you know that there's something to it. It's real. It's not just religion. It's just not because of the way I was raised. It's not just because of the influence of the church. It's not just because the preacher says it's this way. No, there's something inside of me. Praise the Lord. God has, his spirit has met with my spirit and revealed things to my spirit. And he does that. But more and more, turning away from what they once believed. And we're warned about that. Let me take you through a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. We need to be steadfast in saying, I'm not going to listen. I am not going to let anybody talk me out of turning away from what I believe. First of all, salvation, and then the doctrines of the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, Paul addressing the church at Corinth, and he says this in verse 13 and 14. He says, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. He says, I'm just giving you the same stuff because it's truth, and it's going to be truth all the way to the end. As also you have acknowledged us in part that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's in the end. Amen. When Christ returns, the church is raptured up, we're going to all be rejoicing because of how we have encouraged one another and because of our beliefs and how we've served God. But we need to acknowledge it to the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy, and write these verses down. I go pretty fast for you here if I got several, but write them down so you can study them later. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue thou. Be steadfast minded in continuing in the doctrines, the truths that you have already received and know to be the knowledge of God." One of the things in the book of Revelation, when it comes to the churches there, in Revelation chapter 2, 3 and 3, we find here that he gives us the message, Christ's message to all the churches. And this is the message to the church age. The Revelation is past, present, and future. This is the present church age. And if you look at each one of these messages to the churches, something, the same thing, he ends it somewhat with the same thought. And first of all, here in chapter Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, he says to the church of Ephesus, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the..." Overcometh, that means that you have continued to overcome and you have overcome until the end of the church age. If you look there in verse 11, into this church he says, "And he that hath an ear, let him hear why the Spirit, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." It has a little bit different direction for each one, but each one he says, you have to overcome doubt. You have to overcome influences that's going to try to get you to turn away from the Bible, to try to turn away from the God of the Bible. He that overcometh, that means that we're going to have to overcome a lot of things if we are going to fulfill what God has us here to fulfill. In verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." To him that overcometh, there's something to that in every one of the churches here. And if you will, Revelation chapter 2, look down to verse 26. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end," helps us to see more of what he's talking about here. Because in the end days, there's going to come deceivers, and they're going to be bringing false doctrine, and they're going to get away from the teachings of Christ, and they're going to try to turn religion to the Antichrist. Still going to be religious. They might even still call themselves Christian, but it's going to be an Antichrist teaching, Antichrist doctrine. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." In chapter 3, verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Overcoming these kind of hindrances in the doctrines is not talking about losing salvation. Don't get confused there. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." Then verse 21. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame." Yeah. We have to overcome apostasy. We have to overcome people trying to talk us out of our faith. Overcome the influences of the world trying to blind us to the ways of God. Well, Naomi, steadfastness in knowing that I have chosen God, stop trying to talk me out of it. Well, how we need to have that same steadfastness. Look back with me. Look back with me. That's just the first. That's just her steadfastness. That's what Ruth now sees that. She's not, she is not going to be talked out of it. That's what she sees in her steadfast thinking. Verse 16. Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. I'm going to go. You're the only one that can point me in the direction that God wants me to go. She didn't have a Bible. Her only connection to God was Naomi. I'm not letting you out of my sight. I like you, Naomi. Yeah, that's all. I think she had a relationship. But more than Naomi, it was Naomi's God. It was the rest of her life. She had committed to leaving her past life, leaving her gods, and she was going to now focus on the God of Israel, the Naomi's God. But Naomi was the only connection she had. Where you're going, I'm going in the very same direction. It's like this Bible is our connection to God. Whatever this Bible says, I'm going to follow. Whatever this Bible tells me that I should do to have a closer relationship with God, that's what I want to first of all know about, and then I want to follow it. I'm going in the same direction. No matter what, I will not change direction. That's steadfast-minded. I'm following you. Wherever you go, I'm following you. Not going to turn back. Where thou goest, I will go. We ask for God's leading. That many times when it's not what we want, we stop following. That's not being very steadfast. Jesus gave us a great example, and let me just take it to you. Mark chapter 14. Mark in chapter 14 and verse 36, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is God who was manifest in the flesh. He still had the flesh, and this is a battle of the flesh and the spirit. And this is why it helps us to identify with our Lord and Him identify with us. But without going into all the details of this, what happened in the garden in chapter 14, verse 36, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me. But I love it. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. No matter what, I will not change direction. I'm going to follow you. If this is what you have for me, this is what I'm going to do. Wouldn't what he, if it's possible, take it away. Nevertheless, I've already committed to following you, doing whatever it is your will is. If this is your will for my life, I will follow. When you ask for God's leading, follow it. Don't give up on it. Don't turn away from it. Be steadfast-minded. God's will for Ruth was to follow the information and the sign that He gave her that He's real. Naomi, this backslidden Hebrew, she was the information and the object that Ruth was to follow. And Ruth knew it. Stop trying to talk me out of following you. Wherever you, I'm following you. Almost like an Elijah, Elisha type of situation there. Yeah. When you know it's God's will, follow it. Just follow it. Go back with me. I know we're running out of time, but this is so good. I love this. The third thing. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. wherever you go and however you have to live in this life, I'm going to go with you. So wherever you lodge, I will lodge. I've often said, I would love to lodge in Arizona. I've been to Arizona several different times. I usually go out there. Probably the best time to be in Arizona is January through March. And I've been out there most time in January and February. I want to lodge there. Especially when I look at the weather forecast back in Indianapolis in January and February. I'm in the sunshine and the dry conditions and all the night, and it's snowing and blizzards, and I'm thinking, Lord, let me lodge here. Amen? Isn't there a church somewhere here in Arizona that needs a good pastor? I think that what I'd like to do is find a church there that I can convince the pastor to come here January through March. And you accept him here for January through March. And let me, the opposite. Let me go there January, March from the summer months and everything else. I want to be here. Okay? So I just want to be there either way. God said, no. You can have a vacation, but I want you to lodge in Indiana. I want you to lodge in Indianapolis. Lord's kept me in my home state, both me and my wife in our home state, our whole lives. Yeah, if I hadn't known what Arizona, I wouldn't want to be there. But now that I know that, it's hard not to want to be there in those. But seriously, it's wherever God wants me to lodge. Where's God going to plant me? In what state? What area? I have my druthers, but I don't really want to make that known. Because whenever I say I never want to go, I know that's where I'm going to go. So, you don't, Lord, whatever your will is, and you hold back saying, except for, Lord, anywhere but. When you do that, mark it down, that's where you're going. But the idea there is, she says, wherever you lodge, I'm going to lodge as well. It may be God's will that you're going to have to, for a little time, lodge in an apartment. It might be God's will that you're going to have to lodge in a rental house. Maybe God's will that you're going to have to lodge with not all the conveniences that you had experienced in the past or whatever. You might be going through a certain valley, might be going through a certain trial. You might be going through something and God says, I need you to lodge here for a while. Lord, where thou wants me to lodge, that's where I'll lodge. Can I tell young people, don't be so quick to want to move out of mom and dad's house. I know most seniors, most high school, well, when I get a certain age, I'm going to move out, I'm going to have my own house, I'm going to have my own rules, I'm going to do my thing, and then you start realizing, where's that money going to come from? I look at my finances and what I can afford, and I can no longer live in a very nice, comfortable house with air conditioning. All I can do, maybe a trailer somewhere. Think it through. You better make sure if it's God's will for you to move out, then move out. But most of the time, God's given you safety of a home and parents and church. Lodge where God wants you to lodge. Steadfast with little or much. God might be testing you to find out if you'd be steadfast with little. Philippians chapter 4, look there with me. Philippians in chapter 4. This is steadfastness. This is steadfast mindedness. This is having the mind that God wants you to have. Where thou lodgest, if it's your will for me to go there, I'm following you, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge there. No matter if it's in a mansion or in a tent. Philippians in chapter 4, that's a biblical principle. Paul gives us this. He helps us understand this New Testament principle with that very same mindset. And he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Wherever you want me to lodge, I'm going to be content in the wintertime in Indianapolis when I have to be here. I'm going to be content. If this is where you want me, I am content. I am going to be content wherever you have me to lodge. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. For ultimately, he says, I can do all things. No matter what it is, where you have me to lodge, I can do all things as long as I'm looking to Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yeah. I got several more. Let me go one more. Let's go one more. Go back with me, 16. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. This is the mindset, and we've got it recorded for us, and it's a steadfast minded. Ruth has an example, a testimony that we need to look to. This lost Moabitess becomes now a servant of the Almighty Creator God. And she is going to come into play. God is going to use her greatly. We'll see that before we get finished with the book of Ruth here. But this is Ruth getting saved and having the mindset that I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to follow whatever information. I'm going to follow Naomi because that's what God has brought into my life to lead me to Him. Verse 16, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. The next, thy people shall be my people. An association with God's people. I don't want to associate and be identified as a Moabitess any longer. I don't want to be associated and be identified as a servant of Baal any longer. Thy people, those that are under your God, those that are following your God's law, those that are under your God's blessings, it's going to be my people. I no longer want to identify with the world. I want to identify with Christ. That's what she's saying. Acts in chapter 11. We'll finish here tonight. Acts in chapter 11. The Apostle Paul. He was not known as the Apostle Paul for a long time. He was raised to believe in God, but he was raised with a lack of understanding about who Jesus was. When Jesus came, he didn't recognize him. He wasn't looking for him. And so he became a persecutor of Christ and everything and everybody that stood for Christ until he got saved. And then he said, if you will, like Ruth did, God, your people are going to be my people. Amen. Sorry that it took me so long. God, forgive me for all the things that I did against the cause of Christ. But God, now I know. Because I know, your people are my people. Acts chapter 11. Verse 26, God sent him to a little church in Antioch. After he worked in his heart and life and prepared him to be used, now he goes to the church in Antioch. And the Bible says this, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And Paul would leave, and everywhere he went, he said, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And my family is made up of everyone else who is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Let me introduce the Savior to you. I want you to become part of the family of God. And we've gone out into the world. He didn't want the world to mistake him as being Saul any longer. He wanted everyone to know, I'm not Saul. I'm not the persecutor of Christianity. I am Paul. I am a part of the family of God. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. We need to be steadfast-minded in telling this world, I am not going to identify with the world. I am going to identify myself with my Savior and with Christianity. True, genuine Christ-likeness. You make that statement by what church you attend. You make that statement by how you present yourself. You make that statement by how you talk to people. You make that statement by what doctrine you hold to. I want to identify with Christ. Genuine Christ-likeness. Does the world see you as someone in the world? Or does the world see you as something peculiar? Not weird, peculiar. Someone that has maybe a different standard, a different language, different priority, different morality. Are we steadfast in identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ? Your family, be my family. If I could have your head bowed. Yeah. What a great, great mindset that we find here in Ruth, recorded for us to learn from. Do we have that kind of a steadfast mind ourselves? I will not be talked out of what I believe. I'm going to go wherever God wants me to go. I'm going to lodge wherever God wants me to lodge. And God's people will be my people. That's who I want to identify with. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday night. There's always an invitation. If God spoke to you tonight and you need to come for whatever reason, we want you to come. If you want to make a pew out of your, or an altar out of your pew and make some decisions right there, just go ahead and do that. Just make sure that you look to follow through with them. Steadfast, steadfastly minded. That was her testimony. Anyone else? Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you for this character of Ruth. And God, so much we can learn from. But thank you tonight for being able to help us to make this real. I mean, as we read this, being able to apply it in this 21st century New Testament Christianity, and how that you have it there for us to make it applicable. Pray that we would learn from this and be determined to be steadfast-minded as well. Bless each one. Get us home safely tonight. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.